I ask that you turn with me to the book of Acts as we continue our series through this book together, continuing in chapter 9. Last week we looked at the story of Paul's conversion, the conversion of Saul, how his life was not the same after that event. And we talked about that was probably the most significant event in the history of the church outside the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the conversion of Paul and the change that that has made, and even in us coming to faith today. But now we pick up the story, the account, as we get to verse 19, continuing through verse 31. The events immediately following the conversion of Saul. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Jerusalem and in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Paul learned of their plan. And day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him through an opening in the wall. Then he came to Jerusalem, and he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told him how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarshish. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for your word and its truth, and I pray that through your word this morning you would speak to our hearts, that you would take those burdens from us and lift them from our hearts this morning, that through your word you would encourage us in our walk with you, in our relationship with you, in our relationship with others. In those times, Lord, do we just need you coming alongside of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you do come alongside of us and you're always there, lightening the burden, carrying the load, and encouraging our hearts. So through your word, speak to us this morning. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there a time in your life when you needed encouraged? There's times when we all need to be encouraged. And if someone tried to encourage you, maybe in a low point in your life, or you're going through a hard, difficult time in a trial, and someone tries to encourage you, and instead of encouraging you, you end up becoming discouraged. It doesn't maybe turn out the way you thought. Because there was a young couple who was very, very much in love. And they were getting married in the church. However, when it came time for the wedding day, the bride was very, very nervous about the big occasion. So the pastor thought, I'm going to try to encourage her, and so she wouldn't be as nervous. So he chose one verse that he thought would be a great encouragement for her when the service came. And the verse was this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, which says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. He thought, that's a good verse to encourage her on her wedding day when she's nervous. So the preacher asked the best man to read that verse during the ceremony. But what the pastor did not know was that the best man was not a regular churchgoer and did not know the Lord. So he did not know the difference between the Gospel of John and 1 John. So during the service, The best man introduced the verse that the pastor had chosen for him to read. And he said, I have a verse that I feel was a very good verse for the bride, and I'm going to share it with you now. And so he reads John 4, verse 18, which says, the fact is, you have now had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. The pastor had tried to encourage the couple, but something went wrong. We need encouragement in our lives. And sometimes people try to encourage us, and they may be well-meaning to do it, but it seems like it doesn't happen. Paul, or the apostle Saul, needed encouragement in his life. We read the story here, what happened after he was saved. And we had seen last week his dramatic conversion that brought him to Christ when he met the Lord face to face on the way to Damascus, on the way to find Christians there, both men and women, to have them arrested and to be killed. And how the Lord met him face to face and he come encounter with the living Lord, and his life was never the change, never the same again. And you would have thought, and Paul's life changed, that was a high point in his life, and it was. But not everybody was happy with Saul's change in his life. The Jews who had sent him to Jerusalem, to Damascus on that journey, when they found out that Paul became a believer, they were not happy. And the believers, the Christians, still had a hard time trusting Saul. They did not believe that this man truly, how could a guy who come here to arrest us and had a reputation for taking Christians in prison, how could he become a believer? He's just saying that to try to infiltrate us, to arrest us, and they didn't trust him. And he needed encouragement. He needed someone to come alongside of him. Because we all need that time in our life when we need someone to come alongside us. And why do we need encouragement? Because we will have trials. And Saul was going to see here. It wasn't going to be long after he became a believer in Christ, he was going to experience trials. He might have thought, well, he knew what it was like for how he was hunting down the Christians, and now he himself was going to be experiencing that same kind of thing. And Paul was going to experience a lot of trials for his faith and trust in Christ. But through it, he was going to learn that God's grace was sufficient. But we go through trials in our life. We're going to have trials and heartaches come, and we need encouragement in those times because those burdens can really weigh us down, can't they? And we need the encouragement to help those burdens to be lifted when those trials get heavy, when those heartaches and burdens that we carry that we will experience. We also have an enemy. And Saul was understanding that there was an enemy against him. Because once he named the name of Jesus, he became a mark and a target for Satan. And we have an enemy against us, and we need encouragement. We also need encouragement because the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And from when Paul was going to make that conversion of Christ till the Lord caught him home, it was a marathon. There was a lot of things he was going to experience in his life, and our life too. And when you run a marathon race, I've never done it, but people tell me you get to that point where you feel like you're going to hit the wall and you can't go any farther. And that's when people come in alongside and say, you can finish this race, you can do it. And they encourage you to go on. That's why Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished the race. And there is a crown of life laid up for me, not just for me, but for everyone who longs at appearing. When you're in a marathon race and it's over in a long extended period of time, we can get tired. We can feel like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't go on anymore. Have you ever felt that way? And that's why we need encouragement for people to come alongside us and say, yes, you can. You can finish that race. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep running. You're a step closer now than you were before. We're getting closer. The end is in sight. Keep running that race. And we also need encouragement because we can get discouraged. There's times in our life, because of all that we're going through, we can easily get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, we can lose hope. When we get discouraged, we can feel like we want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. It's just not worth it anymore. And discouragement is one of Satan's biggest weapons, friends. He loves to get us as Christians discouraged, so to rob us of our joy, and so that we don't run the race effectively. And discouragement can cripple us. And discouragement can give us to inaction. And discouragement is a reason why we need to be encouraged. During the gold rush, there was a man who had been mining in Colorado for months. For several months, he kept mining. But he finally got tired and he got discouraged because he had all those months and he didn't strike any gold. And he didn't find anything. So he quit his job because he hadn't struck gold and the work was becoming tiresome. And he got discouraged. So he sold his equipment to another man and resumed the mining, and he left. And he turned the job over to him. The new miner was advised by his engineer that there was gold only 3 feet away from where the first miner stopped digging. And the engineer was right. As the second miner continued and got that 3 feet, he struck gold. And that first miner stopped and he got discouraged when he was only 3 feet away from the gold. And so often, we can get to the end of the race and we get discouraged and we want to give up. And Paul says, keep your eye on the prize and keep running forward, the race marked out for us. So we need encouragement, just as Saul did. You say, well, how does that relate to the scripture? We're going to look at that this morning because Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, came along Saul and encouraged him. And through this part of the story of Saul's life, we can learn four ways that you and I can find encouragement in our life. In those times when we are discouraged, in times when those burdens are heavy, and we need someone to come alongside of us. How do we find encouragement? The first way, we're encouraged through the word of the Lord. God's word itself is one of our primary ways of encouragement. Notice what it says in verse 20. Soon as Saul was saved, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul immediately began to preach. Why did he do that? Because God had called him and transformed his life, but he knew the scripture. Remember, he had been taught by Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. He knew the word of God well. And now he understood how Jesus was the fulfillment of that. And so he began to preach the word of God in the synagogues. And what happened? Verse 21 says, all who heard him were astonished. And they were amazed. As they heard Paul share the word of God, it brought encouragement to them. And they were astonished as God spoke through his word as Paul proclaimed it. And one of the ways that we find encouragement, friends, is through God's word. When we open it up and we read it and we let him speak to us. And have you ever had those times in your life when you've been going, you have a deep, heavy burden, and you open up God's word, and as you're reading it, a verse jumps out at you like, wow, I never heard that before, but that's exactly what I needed to hear from God today. And that's what he does in his word. His word is powerful that way. It encourages us because it admonishes us, just as it did here. The people who heard this were astonished. And they were admonished by the word of God. His word brings encouragement as it admonishes you and I. It also changes us. When they heard Paul preach, they said, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem to all who call on his name? Isn't this the guy that came, was gone and killing everybody that preached this name, and now he's sharing that name? What happened? It was the word of God transformed him through Jesus. And the word of God changes us. And that's one of the ways it brings encouragement to us. It also comforts us. As God's word, we open up his word, and his word speaks those words and message of comfort and hope just when we need it, at just the right time. His word also convicts us, because it says that the word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and able to penetrate into the deepest parts. You may say, well, how is that encouraging? Well, his word's encouraging when it convicts us because it draws us to the right point of action. It instructs us and gives us ways in which we know what God is saying for us and how to live our life. And it strengthens us. Notice what it says here as Paul proclaimed the word. it says that he, verse 22, grew more and more powerful. As the word of God, as he proclaimed the word of God, God's word empowered him and strengthened him. And God's word brings that strength in our life that we don't have on our own. So the word of the Lord brings encouragement. I don't know what burdens you may have this morning as you come into church and in before the Lord, but whatever burdens are pressing you down, and however you need encouragement this morning, I just want to speak the word of God over you. And as I was preparing, I said, pulled several words, verses of encouragement. I'm just going to put them up here and read them to you. And whatever God is saying to you, let his word be your encouragement this morning, because I'm sure there's somewhere one of these verses as a need for you today. Let his word encourage your heart. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. This is God's word to you. Let it encourage you this morning. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are you in trouble this morning? He's a very present help. Philippians 4:19, where God says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply it. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, if God is for you, who can be against us? Psalm 55, verse 22, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Deuteronomy 38:31-8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So do not fear. Don't be dismayed. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who have been called according to his purpose. And Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of God brings us comfort. The word of God encourages us as he speaks over us his word. And whatever those needs are, we can take his word to heart and we can believe it and be encouraged by it. As Paul shared the word of God, he was strengthened. The people were admonished. And as we share in the word of God, it is a source of encouragement to us. That's one of the ways. But second, we also find encouragement through the support of a friend. When someone who comes alongside of us, and that's exactly what Barnabas did for Saul. Notice in verse 26 and 27. When he came to Jerusalem then, He tried to join the disciples. He tried to get into the church of Jerusalem. And remember, Saul had a reputation. Why did the Christians scatter? Because of him. Who was responsible for starting the persecution? Saul. Who was the one who had led the killing of the first martyr, Stephen? Who was the one that led that? Saul. Where did they lay the coats at? Saul. Who had the orders to have the Christians killed? It was Saul. So he had a reputation. So when he tried to go back to Jerusalem and join the Christians there, they were afraid. And they were afraid of him, and they would not believe, and they did not believe that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, came alongside of him and took him and brought him to the apostles and introduced him to the apostles and persuaded them and told the apostles, Saul's life has changed. He met the Lord. He's not the same guy. He does know the Lord, and he trusted. And Saul and Barnabas vouched for him. He put his reputation on the line for Saul. And what happened? The church accepted him and took him in as their own, because Barnabas had come alongside and gave him support. There's times in our life when you and I need encouragement, and we need someone to come alongside us and to be there in our corner. Barnabas, someone who believes in you. And Barnabas believed in Saul when nobody else would or did. Someone who sticks with you when nobody else will. And that's what Barnabas did. He stuck with Saul when everybody else, none of the other disciples, said, no way, we don't want him around us. And the Jews, who all liked him once he became a believer, wanted to kill him. So he wanted to be killed by the Jews, and the Christians didn't accept him. Nobody wanted Saul. But Barnabas yet believed in him and stuck with him when no one else will. And isn't it encouraging when you have a friend in your life that's like that for you? Do you have someone in your life that will stick with you when nobody else does? Who believes in you when nobody else does? Someone who is willing to risk their reputation for you? And that's what Barnabas was willing to do, willing to risk his reputation for Saul. And someone who loves you that much. Someone who sees and embraces the Lord's work in you and the potential that you have for Christ. And Barnabas recognized that in Saul. He saw the Lord's work. He saw what God was doing in Saul's life. Barnabas did what nobody else did. He recognized that. And someone who can see God's work in you and encourage you to follow that. Someone who takes an interest in you and helps you get started. And they open up doors for you. If you had someone ever do that for you, that's open up a door for you, that if it wouldn't have been for that person in your life, you wouldn't have had the opportunities you did. That's exactly what Barnabas did. He opened up doors for Saul by opening up the doors of introduction into the church. I did not grow up EC, and I did not grow up, as you know, my dad was a pastor in the Methodist church, and I'm pretty much ingrained in the EC church now and pretty involved in EC church and its and what the denomination does. But I did not grow up that way. And I didn't know anything about the EC church. I didn't even know anything about it or existed for my years till I came to seminary. And there was a couple that when I first went to seminary that took an interest in me. And Kim knows who they are, and Ralph and Connie know who they are. But the rest of you probably never heard them, Ken and Mary Good. But Ken and Mary Good were very influential people in the denomination. Mary was very influential in the missions part of the denomination. Ken Good was very influential in the conference and the workings of conference. And those two took an interest in me. And they came alongside me and kind of became parents to me and introduced me and brought me into the EC church. They introduced me to people and opened doors for me that if it wouldn't have been for them, I wouldn't have gotten to know. And there's always somebody that comes in your life. Is there that person that comes along and opens up a door for you or comes alongside you and believes in you because they see what God can do through you that maybe nobody else can? Is there a Barnabas in your life? Has there been? Or are you a Barnabas to somebody else? Barnabas' real name was Joseph. But remember, he got the name Barnabas, which meant son of encouragement, because he was always encouraging people. That's the kind of guy he was. So the church said, we're not going to call you Joseph, we're calling you Barnabas, because you just encourage people. You just come alongside people. That's what he did. And he came alongside Saul here. So the word of the Lord brings us encouragement, but the support of a friend. Who do you have in your life? Have you had that kind of friend that comes alongside you and sticks with us when nobody else does? Of course, the greatest friend of all is Jesus. Jesus said, I no longer call you strangers or servants, but friends. And you are my friend, he said. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man of many compassions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And aren't you thankful that's our Lord Jesus? That he sticks closer than a brother, and when no one else believes in us, when everyone else will forsake us, he never will. And we have his support, but also to have a support of a friend who comes alongside. The third way that we find encouragement and support, encouragement, is through the help of the family. And the family, I'm talking about the church. Because what happened here? Whenever Saul became a believer, the Jews, it said, tried to kill him. And so what did they do? Verse 23, after many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan, and day and night they kept close watch on the city gates. But his followers, the church, took him by night and lowered him in a basket through the opening of the wall. The church supported him, and the church helped him in that time of need, and they sent him on his way and protected him. When he got to Jerusalem, we see what happened. When he got to Jerusalem, verse 28, he spoke boldly and he moved freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, the same people that caused Stephen's martyrdom. But they tried to kill him. So verse 30, when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarshish. So what do we see here? We see the church, the family, helping Saul when he needed it. We find encouragement, friends, through the help, that's us, the help of the family. When we come together and support each other in times of need, whatever that need may be. Someone who comes to your aid and your defense, that's what the church is to do. Someone who protects you from the enemy, and we have come together to do that. Someone who helps you on your journey, and that's what they did. They helped Saul on his journey to arrive safely to Tarshish. And we come alongside as the church to help each other on the journey, because as I said, it's a marathon, and we can get discouraged. And when we together as a church come on Sunday mornings, we help encourage each other to keep running the race, to keep on that journey, right? And it's part of what we do, helping each other, the help of the family, one another. That's why we need each other. And to come, someone who comes around you for strength and support. And that's what the church did with Saul. They came around him for support and for strength. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing. And Saul, as he was writing, Paul later on was writing to the church of Thessalonians, a church that he had founded, a church that he knew well, knew that they encouraged each other. And he said, keep doing that. You're encouraging each other, but you're doing it, but keep doing it all the more. Because he knew building each other up, we find that strength and help from the family of God. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, the writer says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, And all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord, the second coming. And why do we need to encourage each other all the more the closer we get to the Lord's return? Because the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more Satan's going to fight. And the more hardest things are going to become. So he said, encourage each other all the more through the help of the family. The word of God brings us encouragement, the support of a friend, the help of the church, the help of the family. And last, we find encouragement through the work of the Spirit. Notice in verse 31. Then the church throughout Galilee, Judea, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. And it was strengthened and encouraged by what? Encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And it grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, he comes alongside us to encourage us. In fact, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. Jesus says, when I leave, I am going to send the Comforter. And when he comes, he will be with you always. You know what that word Comforter means? That word Comforter is the name Paraclete, which means one who is called alongside of. That the Holy Spirit is called to be alongside of you. God is alongside you always. Called to your side. Called to your aid. And that's his role as the Holy Spirit, as God. To be your encourager, your comforter. Called to your side. Not when you need him, but always. And as the work of him in our life, and he brings us peace. Jesus said in John chapter 14, as he was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, he said, I give you my peace. I leave you my peace. Not as the world gives, but a lasting peace. When the Holy Spirit comes, one of the fruits he produces in our life is peace and strength. He gives us the strength that we need. He says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. He encourages us. He gives us growth and living. It says here, when the Holy Spirit came, they had a time of peace. They were strengthened. They were encouraged. They grew in numbers. The Holy Spirit enables us to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and in Christ's likeness. And it says they lived in the fear of the Lord. That's part of his work. Living in the fear of the Lord means reverence, obedience, worship, holiness, God's Spirit doing his work within us. Jesus said, I pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, the one called alongside, and he will be with you forever. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And so may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope of the power of the Holy Spirit. All things that the Holy Spirit does in our life through his work, and through his work he encourages us. So do you need encouragement this morning? Is your burden heavy? Is it pressing you down? Are you at that point of discouragement? Trust in the word of the Lord and let God through his word encourage your heart. The support of a friend that comes alongside you who believes in you when no one else does. Through the help of the family as we help and pray for and support one another. And through the work of the Holy Spirit when he does his work in and through us as a comforter and the one who brings us peace. Our heart is encouraged and we are strengthened and we feel that burden removed. We all need encouragement, and we find it through the hope and the power of the Lord. One story in closing, that there was a man who was walking through an elephant camp, and he noticed that the elephants were only secured with a small little rope that was tied around one ankle. He wondered why the elephants didn't break free from the rope, as the elephants were certainly strong enough to do so. So he asked a trainer why the elephants didn't try to break free, and the trainer responded by saying that they used the same size rope for the baby elephants all the way up to adulthood. Because they're too small when they're babies to break free from the rope, they get conditioned thinking that they can't break free from that same rope. And as adults, they are held by that rope, but they had the power to break free, but they get conditioned to it. God wants to set us free, and those burdens that we have, we can carry them, and we can continue to let them press us down. But through the power of encouragement, he can set us free through his word, through the support of a friend, through the help of the family, and through the work of the Spirit. So cast your burden on him, because he cares for you and he will sustain you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the power of encouragement. We thank you for those that have come alongside of us and were a Barnabas to us and believed in us when nobody else would. They were willing to take a risk of their reputation for us. And Father, we thank you for those people that opened doors for us when nobody else would. Father, may we be that kind of support and friend to someone else. We thank you that you are the friend that sticks to us, closer to us than a brother, and that will never forsake us. We thank you for your word, that through your word you encourage us, that when we come to your word and open it up, you speak to us exactly those words that we need to encourage our heart at that moment. We thank you that it is alive and active and at work within our hearts. We thank you for the support of the family, that we need each other. And the Bible says not to forsake gathering together, but to come together, because we need that support as we encourage each other to continue to run the race, to continue to keep our eyes focused on the prize. And Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who is called to our side, who brings us peace and power and strength and intercedes for us before, and we don't even know how to express what we're feeling to you. Your Holy Spirit in us takes those words and feelings to you on our behalf. So we thank you for the work of the Spirit within us, for the power of your word, and for those who stand with us. Encourage us, Lord, when we are discouraged, because we fight that enemy. We all need people to stand in the gap with us. And so, Lord, may we continue to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, keeping our eyes on the prize, because we will reap a harvest if we do not get weary and give up. So may we encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Thank you for your word, for the family of God, for the work of your Spirit, and for what you are doing in and through our lives. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.